This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
About to drop it on you. 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good here on a hump day. Seat Williams. Ari is back in the wheels of steel with the ones and twos. Plenty to get to, and boy, do I have a holiday season surprise the remainder of the week for you listeners. Gift wrapped with a ribbon. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports. We're going to talk a little fisticuffs in the octagon and some boxing. UFC coming up 218 down at Little Caesars back in Detroit. We'll get to that also. The Ultimate Fighter, which is a little touchy because you already know, but you don't. That's Friday night here in town. So that dope lighters up. I got a long list of them. The laundry list, pretty dirty, but we're going to get to all that. Matt Lauer, of course, will be a part of that. But the big prize coming up today, mañana, and on Friday, ticket giveaways today. And I got with Mark, the marker. We call him the marker because, like, if you're at a casino, the floor guy, the foreman, he'll mark your money up front. This guy marks your prizes up front. And our prize today, Rebels. Northern Iowa tonight. However, Saturday at the MAC, they get Arizona Wildcats. We got tickets we're giving away in that final go-round. You can't beat that. Arizona tickets, the Runner Rebels. And then tomorrow, Coyotes and the G-Knights. Friday, we'll figure it out. Maybe Rebels, maybe Coyotes, maybe a double bash. The marker sets you up. I drop the prize. You pick it up. Everybody be happy here during the holiday seasons. All right. How you doing, Ari? Back in the box, brother.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You sure?
Very, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a relief, actually, to be inside just chilling.
You up on Tinder still, or are you out?
No, I'm good. I don't even know if I'm single. Like, I'll know tonight.
You got a girl now, huh?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I think so.
You want to give a report? Small details?
Off the air. No, well, it's, okay. It's early. I don't know.
How
gonna,
new?
We're
going to
have a
newcomer.
Convo tonight, I'm sure.
Date number?
This will be officially like two. But we've hung out and we've talked. It's a long story. We've talked for a while.
You know, we've thrown away that three times and then.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
that stuff doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
we're all
grown.
Hey, you got to jump right in.
We'll see.
As soon as possible. You never know, cool. Man.
Maybe she'll make dope. We'll see.
All right. Let's get busy with it. This right here is something I said on the air week 9, I believe it was, in the NFL. And finally, it's happening. I can't believe it, but I'm very happy. NFL owners stepped up a couple of days ago and in efforts to help social discomforts in the communities for Afro-Americans, the owners in the NFL are donating up to about $100 million for the cause that Colin Kaepernick started a couple of years ago. Now, Kaepernick is basically taking the hit. He's a fall guy. His career is probably over in the NFL. And maybe not. Maybe now that players will come off the knee, I hope they will. Let me say this, okay? I said that on the air about week 9, about a month ago, and gave you my idea of what could put an end to the kneeling, and that is the players and the owners get together, and the owners donate some money in the communities of the 32 cities that the teams play in. Now, then the players step up and put some money in. And from that point on, you get with the communities, with the police chiefs and leaders in the community, and you decide how you're going to allocate the money to the cause. That's exactly pretty much what happened. Either they're piped into our show or I'm a black Nostradamus, okay? But something's going on here in this society of ours where, look, I'm just happy this is getting done. And I'm going to say this on the flip side of that. There's always a downside. The social problems with police shooting and killing blacks, unarmed or whatever the case, that's never going to go away. But we can do some things to bring the parties closer together and make it better for the youth. I'm concerned about the youth of today, our adults with their kids for tomorrow. Okay, and maybe this right here will help some settling and make things a lot better, at least going into the holidays. You see me, I'm pretty fired up when I saw that story. So I'm feeling good about this. It's a start to perhaps something that we can help go along and make things better.
I think it opens up like the conversation about it. That's the key. I think now they stepped up and it's time, you know, to put your money where your mouth is. Yep. Now we got to discuss this. Like, it's real. It's real.
Right now, the league submitted to players the final draft of the proposal that will contribute nearly $100 million to fund the cause considered critically important in the African-American community. The NFL hopes this effort will effectively end the peaceful yet controversial movement of players that Kaepernick started last season with the anthem. I hope it does. Now, there are some players that are divided on this. What are you pissed off about now? And I say this because the NFL has done nothing to you. They've given you employment. You're millionaires because of the NFL, okay? If they're offering you $89 to $100 million for your cause, take it, get off a knee, shut up, and go play football. And I say this, and I'm not knocking anybody for whatever their beliefs are, but you can't be mad at the owners. They could have gave you $1 million and said, okay, get up. $100 million, bro. Are you paying attention? Count the cheese. All right? They care enough. They're embarrassed by the fact that you're doing this on their platform. And, of course, it's your platform, too, because you're the players. But now it's a time to get up and go play football and root for Kaepernick to perhaps get a job. There's a couple of players that's going to wear his cleats during the you can wear whatever you want day on the NFL to give your personal expressions. I like that. Maybe Kaepernick gets a job. But he was the fall guy for this whole thing. So in the end, just keep in mind, for the players that feel like this ain't good enough, you're wrong. The owners don't have to give anything, okay? But they are. They're showing concern for your concern. They're not the ones that are being violated in the community. They have estates and mansions, manors all over the country. Okay, you're growing into that, but understand what they're doing. They're helping you for something that is your problem, my problem. It's not their problem, but they're donating. So kind of get the concept. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't be influenced by what your friend is spitting in your ear, okay? Use common sense. And I said when this first came down, it's a common sense solution. If the owners come together with the players and they both put some money together, get with the police chiefs, the community leaders, they can resolve this off the knee. Boom. It's done. The killings aren't going to ever go away because our country started that way. And you know what I'm talking about, some 400 years ago. Okay, so get a clue. Move on. I'm about to do the same, but I am so happy that the owners and the players finally came to the summit and got this done, my brothers and sisters out there. And I mean of each and every color, gender, and everything else. I'm happy. This is a really good day for me. All right? Very happy.
You seem extra chipper. I like it.
Yeah, I've been fired up all morning, huh? Walking around having fun. Why.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just feeling good about everything. I don't know, man. It's when you see progress, and look, there are some people that did leave football because they didn't like the kneeling. I don't get that, okay? I can understand the baseball strike when the players didn't play the World Series and stuff. I'm never going back to baseball, but that was a different story. Look, you say, well, it doesn't bother me. Well, you're right, because you're living in a nice gated community, but it does bother some of your friends and relatives. Maybe you don't feel that way, but there's always somebody affected by something along the way, kind of like cancer. It's a sore. It's there, but this right here is going to help us get along, and hopefully things will get better down the stretch. I'm energetic, and I got good prizes lined up for the remainder of the week, folks, so it's all good for me, all good all the way around. Absolutely nothing negative to say about anything. Just let's do it kind of thing day for me.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, we'll see.
If I mess something up, you know.
Oh, you're getting ahead of me on this, right? Yeah, I got to admit, though, sometimes things happen for a reason. This right here was entirely a different thing. We kind of know that some things just aren't going to change automatically. They just can't, right? Things just can't change automatically. Sometimes you have to go through certain procedures, certain things in life. You have to deal with certain things, and, you know, hey, you just hope things turn out in your favor. In this case, at least to this point, things are looking pretty good. So we'll see how this turns out in the future. Boy, UFC 218 is coming up in Detroit. This man right here can tell us all we need to know about it. He's with Yahoo Sports, used to be with the Review Journal for many years. Great writer, gives you great opinions, but keeps with the facts. Kevin Ioli. Kevin, how you been, brother?
I am good, see. Always good to talk to you.
All right. How's the family? Everything okay with the holiday season for you here?
Everybody is doing awesome, doing good, enjoying the Golden Knights games, and looking forward to the fights this weekend.
Kind of tough last night, that 3-0 loss. You know, I glanced in, and for those of you out there wondering where the games are, if you have DirecTV, it's 684, and then a different channel if you have Cox. But I'm glancing in, it was like 13 minutes left in the second period, no score. Then before you know it, they get two goals, do the Stars in the end of the period. Then they get a late goal and win 3-0, snapping a 5-game win streak. But the Knights, I think they get Minnesota. Then they are on to Canada.
They're back home on Sunday.
Right. When they get Minnesota and Winnipeg, then they're back home Sunday against the Coyotes. But they're still in first place in their division and second overall in the conference. So they're doing pretty well for an expansion team, huh?
I'll say. I mean, this has been amazing what they've done. You know, it's a lot of fun. If people haven't been to the games, I would encourage them to go. I have season tickets. I purchased them before the year, and I have a blast. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. All right, it's kind of tricky, so we can't really get into that much about the Ultimate Fighter for UFC, but that's going to be Friday. Give us what you can on that. I know it's some already done and all that stuff, but what can you tell us about it?
Well, the Ultimate Fighter is going to crown a female flyweight champion. So that, and they're going to have the finals on Friday night. So it's kind of a big UFC weekend. On Friday at the Park Theater at the Monte Carlo, they will have the Ultimate Fighter Season 26 champion crowned. And that person, the winner of that, will also become the UFC flyweight champion. It's only the second time they've ever done that. And so we can't talk about it because obviously it's a television show and the semifinals are being held tonight. And so we'll find out who goes into the finals and who will be fighting on Friday. We will find that out tonight. So that is going to be very interesting. But we have in the semifinals Roxanne Modafferi against Ciara Eubanks and Barb Ponchak against Nico Montano. And then the finals will be on Friday over at the Park Theater. So, you know, it's been a great season for the women's seat. You know, they've revealed some really good fighters in there. But again, you know, it's hard to say much about tomorrow's or Friday's show because we can't talk until after the fights happen who's going to be in the finals and how they may break down.
But we do have something we could talk about coming up in Detroit. And before we do, it's been a big success on the way with the Ultimate Fighter Championship, going way back to the initial one, right?
Oh, the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, look at what it's done for the UFC. It's not only given them a lot of champions that have come off the show. Michael Bisping just lost his championship. I mean, but they've had Rashad Evans was on there. Matt Serra was on there. I mean, a lot of the fighters won championships who came off the Ultimate Fighter. But it's also just given them so many good fighters on their roster. And it's just a way for them to really get a lot of elite talent. And it's also a way, especially more so in the early days, you know, they were able to expose the sport to people who weren't familiar with it. And it was on free television. You could watch it. And it really helped, show people who weren't familiar with MMA what the sport was all about.
Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports here on the show. Game on as we move it through the weekday. It's hump day here, about 15 past the hour, actually 14. Now let's take you to Little Caesars, big fight card coming up in Motown this weekend, UFC 218. You've got Holiday and Aldo title fight. Let's talk about that fight and then some of the fighters on the undercard. A pretty good, strong-looking fight card.
The main card, I'll tell you what, is one of the better ones. They're finishing up the year strong because UFC 217 in New York, a lot of people thought it was the best card they ever put on paper. This card is really good. Aldo versus Holloway in the main event. Holloway upset Aldo earlier this year. Aldo was the long-reigning champion, Steve, and just one of the best fighters of all time. and Max Holloway put him out in Brazil and won the championship. And so he is a really good fighter. Holloway, he's 25 years old, hasn't lost since I believe it's 2013 to Conor McGregor, and that was a really tough fight. Since then, I mean, he's beaten a who's who of the 145-pound division. So, you know, he is on a roll, really complete fighter. Aldo is one of the all-time greats. That should be a really good fight. But you look at each of those five main card fights, and each of them, you know, you say, wow, I can't wait to see this. You know, the fight that I know you in particular are going to look forward to, Francis the Predator Ngannou, 6'5", 250 pounds, just truck of a man. I mean, he hits like a hammer. Mike Tyson of MMA type guy, bigger and stronger than Mike, but, you know, that kind of punching power. Fighting Alistair Overeem, it's going to be a battle of the Titans in that one, and that should be a really great fight.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. You've got a great main event card. The undercard, not that bad either. And that's the thing about UFC. They have so many employees that they have to put these guys to work and these ladies to work. So they do that, and they do it on a consistent basis.
Well, see, I think the thing is, you know, when you go and you say, hey, if I'm going to ask people to pay big money to watch a pay-per-view, you don't want to say, hey, I'm going to give you four fights where you know who's going to win, and then the fifth fight's going to be the one you want to see. You know, you're going to say, hey, I want to get you in the mood. I'm going to give you good fights from the beginning where, you know, and some cards on paper are better than others, but this is a card where from the first fight, you know, you have Tisha Torres against Michelle Waterson. I mean, that fight was supposed to be held in 2015. Both girls got hurt. Both women got hurt, excuse me. And now they're coming back to fight now, and it should be a great stand-up fight. And you go on from there. Justin Gaethje, who is the most exciting fighter in the sport by far, is fighting former champion Eddie Alvarez in the next fight. That fight will be off the hook. You got Olympic gold medalist Henry Cejudo fighting Sergio Pettis, a very important fight. And the flyweight division, as I mentioned, the fight that I'm looking forward to the most, Ngannou and Overeem. And then in the main event, Max Holloway and Jose Aldo in a rematch. I mean, really a good, deep card. And I think that's the way to build consistent long-term fans. You know, if you look, you know, and you say, hey, I'm a fan of one fighter, and you buy a pay-per-view for that fighter. But if you become a fan of the sport, it's better for the promoters. And that's what the UFC has done. They figured out a way by putting on deep cards, and they promote all the fighters, not just the ones in the main event, that I think it really helps, keep the fan base happy and keep them coming back.
And McGregor, I think, made this prominent. And we, from back in the day, you recall this back in the good old Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler days, Hearns and all that good stuff, Duran. Trash talking was in. I think McGregor made that in vogue here also in UFC because Aldo says, hey, I might leave dead against Holloway, but I'm going to leave with the belt, okay?
Well, there's been a lot of great trash talkers. You know, while Conor is one of the best who's ever done it in terms of trash talking, you know, he wasn't the first one in the UFC to do it. Ronda Rousey came before him, and she was awesome at it, and there was a lot of other ones. And Conor won't be the last. I mean, that's one thing that they're good at is they got a lot of guys that can talk some trash.
Yeah. As far as Conor McGregor, Dana White said, I want to put him on a fight card by the end of this year, but he's not ready. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Well, first of all, Dana said yesterday, some people may have seen this, but Conor ran into the ring at a Bellator event in Dublin earlier this month. A friend of his was fighting on the undercard. Conor was not licensed to be in the corner. He was not a corner man, nothing going on. And he was upset about what was going on in the ring. He jumped the cage, he slapped the Bellator employee who tried to keep him out of the cage, and he shoved the referee. So Dana said yesterday that the UFC was going to put him on this end-of-the-year card, UFC 219 at T-Mobile Arena, and he decided as punishment they were going to pull him off that card. Now, it should be noted that Adi Attar, who is Conor's manager. He denied that previously. He said that Conor had always been looking to fight in early 2018. But Dana said yesterday, which I thought was the big headline of his conversation with the media, and we missed you over there, Seat. But he said yesterday that he thinks that there's a chance that Conor may never fight again. That he made $100 million against Mayweather in that fight, and you know he's not sure he wants to get up every day. And as he said, get punched in the face when you got $100 million in the bank.
Yeah, and the other thing is, by the way, Kevin Ioli, a good friend with Yahoo Sports here on our show. Kevin, the thing is, he made the $100 million, right? Oscar De La Hoya calls him out. And then the sports books here in town, they have a lineup for a rematch with Mayweather that has to take place by the end of next year in December for that to count. But if he does fight in the squared circle again, do you think it'll be either with Oscar De La Hoya, with Mayweather, or he'll never box again?
I don't think he's going to box again. If he does box again, the only way I can ever see it happening is if Mayweather decides to box again. But having said that, see, I don't think Floyd's going to fight. So, you know, Floyd puts out training pictures, and he's just manipulating people. Floyd is retired. He's going to remain retired. And I don't see him coming back to boxing. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for Conor to box anybody else. I mean, Oscar must have been smoking something when he said, you know, he wanted to fight Conor. I mean, he's been retired since 2009. He was over the hill before that. I mean, you remember he got beaten like a drum by Manny Pacquiao the previous year. I mean, you know, I don't know what Oscar is thinking. And he's not thinking, because Oscar, you know, called Mayweather and McGregor the worst thing for boxing, and he said, you might remember the tweet, on the day of the weigh-in, Mayweather and McGregor, right, for disgracing boxing like this. And now all of a sudden, 2 months later, he wants to turn around and do the same thing that he was criticizing. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I don't think, you know, Conor is going to get involved. And I'll tell you this, Dana would block that anyways, Dana White, because I think he's so upset at Oscar. He called Oscar yesterday Oscar De La Cuckoo, and he was not too happy with Oscar. And I don't think he would, even if Oscar is serious about it, which I'm sure he is not, he would not give Oscar the opportunity to do it just because how angry he is at him.
And well, you know what it's about. It's about making your pockets even deeper. Oscar De La Hoya saw that fight. You and I saw that fight like everyone else. That turned out to be a very entertaining 10 rounds of boxing. It really was. I mean, Mayweather, I'm not going to say he carried the fight, but McGregor did everything he could to try to win the fight, which made it interesting. In fact, I thought the fight back on August 26th was better than the one on September 16th with Alvarez and Triple G.
Well, I'll say that I don't know if you agree with that, Steve, but I'll say this. If you get my preview column, and I wrote a ton of stories on Mayweather-McGregor, I wrote my preview, and I said in my preview exactly what would happen. And the only thing I had wrong is I said it would go 8 rounds instead of 10. I said, you know, Mayweather's going to take a round, you know, 2 rounds, maybe 3, to just let McGregor move around the rings, get his, you know, feel for his timing, get a feel for his power, the angles and all that type of stuff, and then he would make his move, and, you know, 4 or 5 rounds, he would finish him. And it just took 2 rounds longer than I thought it would, but he didn't do anything to surprise me in that fight. And Conor, you know, while Conor tried hard, and everybody knew he would try hard, he's not a boxer, and I don't get why people want to see him box. I mean, he's one of the great mixed martial artists of this or any generation. Let's see him fight in mixed martial arts where he's good and where he's one of the best, and not put him in a sport where he has next to no experience.
You know, I think the thing is this also, and you can attest to this, Kevin, all the years you've covered with the PEN, different fighters and different MMA fighters, the training. I mean, do you really want to get back in there for the scrum and all the things you have to do to train for a bout in the UFC? Is people think, okay, you know, they come there. No, you're talking about 6 weeks out. You're training and you're going through this. You may have a couple of injuries. You got to fight through them. It's a big money fight. The training is so vigorous now. We saw Muhammad Ali and so many other fighters down the way. They just didn't want to train anymore, so they stepped away from the ring. That's it, no more. So I don't know how much that has to do with Conor, but I know for a lot of fighters down the stretch, look, the night that the lights come on and you're it, it's all fine. But working up to that point, these fighters, they leave so much in that gym that sometimes I'm surprised they're able to get on that big stage and show what they can do.
Oh, I agree with you on that, Pete. I mean, I think the thing is this, you know, back in the day it used to be guys would go to training camp and they would spend the first part of training camp, you know, maybe the first month or 6 weeks getting into shape. They weren't even in shape at all. They'd go to camp and they'd be 30, 40 pounds more overweight, and they would spend the first part of camp getting in shape, and then they would spend the last couple of weeks, getting technical and working on, you know, with their game plan for the fight and that type of thing. And now there's so much money involved and there's so much that goes into it that they come to camp in shape and they are working right off the hop on their technique and planning for the opponent. And training is very difficult and making weight is difficult. And the sacrifices that both boxers and MMA fighters make and any athlete who is in a, like kickboxers or wrestlers who are in a sport where you have to cut weight, it's so, so difficult, and it's dangerous. It depletes you that, you know, they, you know, when you make the kind of money that Conor McGregor made, you know, you start to think, why do I want to do this? Do I really need to do it anymore?
Absolutely. And finally, Michael Bisping, retiring?
Well, I think he's going to retire next year. I think he's going to fight one more time. Bisping, was the first UFC champion to come from England. There's a UFC show, I can't remember if it's March or April. I believe it's in March in London. And Bisping is expected to be either the main event or one of the high-billed fights on that card. And that'll be his farewell fight. So I think he has one more fight left in him, and then he'll say goodbye.
Hey, before you go, Kevin, your opinion on what the NFL owners have done here with the players getting together, donating the money for the cause, the injustice in the inner cities. Your thoughts about the two coming together and perhaps we won't see the kneeling anymore?
Well, I think it's awesome. I mean, I think, you know, that, hey, the players had a point and they had, and I was glad that they exercised their rights and stood up for what they believed in, and it was a great cause. And I'm glad that the NFL, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, the NFL, I think, was a PR move what they did. But at least they did it. And
yes,
they stepped forward, they put their money out, and they did it. And so, you know, I think this is a win-win for everybody involved, Steve. But I really respect the players for the stance that they took and the way that they did this. And I think this is, as I say, a win-win for everybody involved.
You rock, Kevin. Let the folks know where they can find you on social media.
You can get me on Twitter, at Kevin I, KevinI. Instagram, Kevin Ioli, although I'll warn you on Instagram, mostly my dogs, and then you can friend me on Facebook, and I have a Facebook journalist page. Look for Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports.
Brother, I appreciate you. We'll get back together soon, all right?
All right, my man, anytime.
Happy holidays. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports, here on Game On. I got to tell you, he knows his stuff. I don't know why I've taken so long to get him over here on our show. It's, wow, it's been a couple of months, but yeah, he'll be the guy when we got something big coming up inside either the octagon or the squared circle because he gets it, and he gets it right most of the time, if not all the time. All right, folk, lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:34 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Money May. Floyd Mayweather, huh? Wow. Looking at the world divide, the big wall in China. Floyd Mayweather in China, and he's posting these photos. You got to see these cold-blooded photos, man. He's standing on the wall of China. He says, here in Beijing, China, at the Great Wall of China, considered to be one of the greatest wonders of the world, has always been one of my places on the list. Throughout my travels in life, however, turning this into everything. Coming here with 23 people has been a great experience, and it doesn't hurt to get paid $3 million simply to visit and vacation here in a luxury few days. With money this long, everything is different. I move different. I dress different. I live different because my money is extremely different. I want to thank my cousin. And he goes on and thanks the people. Look, you got to see the photos. I mean, these are cold-blooded photos. You see the wall, how the wall rolls across. It's forever up into the hills. It's incredible. That part, and this is a double dose of dope. We're bonging up twice on this one. That's dope. However, once he went up on social media and showed everybody he was in China, his mansion worth $25 million in Beverly Hills got robbed. Somebody hit him. A broken window. Man. Cops say a lot of personal belongings were missing. So, hey, you get one, you got to take the other. Social media is poison.
Yes, sir.
It's nice to show off all your money, all your belongings, how great it is to be different. But in the end, you're just the same as the rest of us. And a thief is a thief. When you give them an opening, they're going to crash and take it with a snatch and grab. Smash and grab in this case. So Mayweather's dope, and he got doped out by being up on social media.
Oh, yeah. That's a rough one. But no security though either.
Well, I mean,
the guy rolls. Security.
I'm not gonna make the comment, but
right.
How good is your security?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much do you trust your people?
Absolutely.
You know?
That's a shame. I actually, sometimes Mayweather rubs me the wrong way, but honestly, that's tough. But yeah, you gotta keep it. I like to send stuff after. See, that's the cool thing. Leave your house, go to whatever. Then the next day when you're in your house and everything's secure, then post picture. Hey, last night was awesome.
I'm with you there, but sometimes...
He's got to keep in, and celebrities and people like that, you know, they got to keep it going because that's why they're in their position. All right, my story is dated from 2016. I don't know if you remember this. There was a story of a group text that was sent out for Thanksgiving. And this kid did. Basically, the story is this. It's a woman named Wanda Hentz. She sent out a group text saying, Thanksgiving dinner is at my house on November 24th at 3 p.m. Let me know if you're coming. Hope to see you all. Then this kid goes back and forth. He says, who is this? She says, grandma. And it ends up, he asks her to send a picture. She does. And then he says, you're not my grandma. But can I get a plate, though? And she says, of course you can. That's what grandmas do. Feed everyone.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was a story from 2016. He went there, had Thanksgiving with them. They opened their home to him. It was a really cool story. And this year, he revisited again. I think that's really dope. That's why I brought this up. It was an intentional invite. His name's Jamal Hinton, by the way, if I didn't say that. He brought his girlfriend along with him and tweeted about it after, once again. Not while he was there, but after the fact. And it also says, for the record, he also visits his biological grandmother for Thanksgiving dinner. He called the visits with Hentz and her family, quote, a new tradition, and added that he would be visiting his grandma's house for a plate as well. Smart man. Quote, just being friendly, I gained a new friend, a couple new friends. And Stovetop, who is also part of my dope, all three of them are dope to me. And Stovetop reportedly gave Hentz, the woman, a year's supply of stuffing, the majority of which she donated to a local food bank. And I just want to throw this in there, just because I think it's cool. Her family's white, his family's black.
I like that.
Yeah, it's almost not relevant, but it's just kind of a cool thing on top of
it.
No,
everything. It's okay to drop that. I mean, I'm down with the swirl.
So, there you go.
You down with the swirl?
Absolutely.
We'll be swirling.
Yes, sir.
All right. That is dope. And this right here is kind of dope in a way, but... You know, I don't root for anybody to get fired, but this situation took place and there's been hints of it. Matt Lauer, for 20 years, you woke up to him in the morning. Where's Matt? Where's Matt Lauer? From ABC to NBC today. And today was his final go around. Apparently, he misbehaved around a female employee, got yanked. This right here is what you call live TV. And his co-host, she was handed this piece of paper 2 minutes before going on live, Give a listen.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today. And Hoda's here with me at this morning because this is a sad morning here at Today and at NBC News. Just moments ago, NBC News Chairman Andy Lack sent the following note to our organization. Dear colleagues, on Monday night, we received a detailed complaint from a colleague about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Matt Lauer. It represented, after serious review, a clear violation of our company's standards. As a result, we have decided to terminate his employment. While it is the first complaint about his behavior in the over 20 years he has been at NBC News, we were also presented with reason to believe this may not have been an isolated incident. Our highest priority is to create a workplace environment where everyone feels safe and protected, and to ensure that any actions that run counter to our core values are met with consequences, no matter who the offender. We are deeply saddened by this turn of events, but we will face it together as a news organization and do it in as transparent a manner as we can. That is the statement from our chairman, Andy Lack. And we just learned this moments ago, just this morning. As I'm sure you can imagine, we are devastated and we are still processing all of this. And I will tell you right now, we do not know more than what I just shared with you, but we will be covering this story as reporters, as journalists. I'm sure we will be learning more details in the hours and days to come, and we promise we will share that with you. Mm-hmm. And Hoda, I mean, you know, for the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken for Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story, and any other women who have their own stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I got to commend Savannah Guthrie for standing tall, not tearing up. She gave it on both sides. I mean, this was your partner for many years, for decades. Okay, and he was good. Matt, who didn't like him, huh? Matt Lauer, who didn't like him? Who didn't know who he was? We all did. We all watched him for many years. But, you know, my girlfriend, my lady friend, the soccer, she's like, they finally got him. I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, well, there's been rumors about him acting inappropriately around women for years. So they finally came and got him. Well, whatever he must have done recently was the straw that broke the camel's back, because he's now gone. And he'll get another job somewhere, but... Listen, let me say this. If you've got some dark secrets around your workplace, I can say this. In my 26 years, I celebrated my 26th anniversary year in this company on the 19th of November, right? A couple of weeks ago. Been in the company for 26 years. I've never gone out or dated any girl in the company. Beautiful women here. So there's nothing here that can happen with me. And believe me, I've missed a lot of fun, perhaps, but like my sister said, bro, don't drop your money around your honey, okay? In other words, work and money, keep them separate. So she told me that years ago, big sis, and I've kind of taken that one to the school with me. But I got to say, man, for people that have been doing that at work, you're in trouble, because women are going to come back on you now. I'm glad they are. I've said it all along.
Deserve
it. We're jerks, man. We're pricks. The majority of us, not all of us. Okay? Some guys are cool, but I don't run with dudes because of certain things. And this is one of them. How we treat women, how we treat each other as men. Mm. You get in your groups and you run, you talk about people, make fun, and you think you're all that. No, we're not. And it's about time women step up, and they're doing that. And Matt Lauer, he gone. And I'm not going to say that's dope, but it's dope that the woman stepped forward and that NBC did the appropriate thing. And for Savannah Guthrie, I thought she was pretty strong in the way she held up.
Yeah, very professional, because he was probably the mentor and all that, you know. So that's a tough one to, you know, that'd be like me having to come in and say, oh, seat's out today. That'd be rough. That would not be dope.
Easy, dog.
Nah, I'm kidding. Nah,
what's wrong with you, man?
Nah, I'm messing. Okay, so remember last time, this is actually the last time I was on this show, I'm pretty sure, I talked about Ray Allen's catfishing issues.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so he's back. I actually said something like, we'll see how the story unfolds. And I opened up the browser, and sure enough on Twitter, here we are again. And I guess just the more recent, I'll recap it. Essentially, a guy was a guy was catfishing Ray Allen. He was talking to multiple women he thought, well, which was the same guy, Brian Coleman, who was catfishing him. Allen went to court and I think got to try to get a restraining order. This guy then came back and said, no, he's been stalking me. It was a back and forth thing. It was left as is, and now all of a sudden, I guess this guy Coleman went ahead and doubled down on his story and is back in court again, stating that they were involved in a romantic relationship for several years, him and Ray Allen. He also accused Allen of directing, quote, violent threats and false accusations at him, saying he received a strange phone call threatening to strangle him and being approached by someone in a grocery store telling him to watch his back. This is all the guy that catfished him. Allen and his lawyers are sticking to their story. They say he's the stalker. Coleman is the stalker, and he is obsessed with Ray. It sounds like it's only going to get worse. It actually sounds like a really good movie, like a Lifetime movie. I wonder who would play Ray Allen.
Man crush. Gee. Yeah. I had one, but I'm going to shorten it. I'm going to take the other half of this. They both took place in Tampa, and this right here is really dope. The serial killer, the suspect, 51 days, murdered 4 people in Tampa. Well, they got their suspect today. Good. And this is how it happened. This is strange. Dude comes to work, works at McDonald's, walks into work. There's a police officer that's doing his work. He's eating in that same McDonald's, doing his work. No suspicions or anything. And they've been trying 51 days to try to get this guy. They put up a reward, too. Well, this 24-year-old, Emmanuel Donaldson III, okay? He brings in a bag to work, and he gives it to a female co-worker at McDonald's. She looks in the bag, and a gun's in the bag. She takes the gun, this happened yesterday, and gave it to the police officer that was sitting in there working.
Smart.
Right? So Emmanuel Donaldson said, yes, that is my gun. They took ballistics on the gun, and the bullets from that gun match up with the dead people, the homicides, the 4 people that were killed by the stalker down for 51 days down there in Tampa. Jeez. So the dude is not speaking. I'm quite sure by now he has an attorney. He was way under the radar. He didn't fit the profile of a serial killer, graduated from college, but he's working at McDonald's, okay? It's a tough stretch. We know it for you millennials and everyone else. We came up in the same thing. Sometimes you got to get a tough... My very first job, when I was a sophomore at San Diego High, was at Der Wiener Schnitzel. You know, you got to get a job somewhere. You want to go to the movies. Yeah, I had the hat. Damn you. Had an afro under it, though.
I need pictures, as I always tell you.
And I ate for free, baby. Skyler. But this dude right here, if he is the killer, he allegedly is the serial killer who killed 4 people randomly for no reason. Make him talk. We need to find out what's going on, dog. We need to find out. The fact that they got him... it's dope.
Agreed.
You got one more? Or
yeah,
you good?
You know what? Well, let's do this. Let's do this.
Oh, no. He's going to make me do it early.
It's my show for the next 10 seconds. And, folks, we are going to do this giveaway starting now. We're going to come back from a break.
So you want me to do the giveaway right now?
Yeah.
He talked me into this because at the end of the show, we've got the show behind us where you got to race to get things set up. They got the callers and stuff. So thanks to the marker, Mark Moore, who set us up with this giveaway. We got goods all week. Tomorrow it's going to be the Vegas Golden Knights and the Coyotes. And then the following day, maybe the Rebels, maybe the Golden Knights. But right now, caller number 35 at 7. Yeah, that's what you get.
That's
35
get.
Should be 85. Oh, caller number 35 at 702-365-9200. Caller number 35, you got the Running Rebels and Arizona playing at the MAC come Saturday. Caller number 35. Be back to close it out after this.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Looking at, 357 in the valley. Actually, 354. 353 in the valley, beg your pardon. Looking at a third-hand clock. I'm kind of jacked up in here.
You get no help from me right now.
Well, they bogged you up. See, this is what happens. For the listeners out there, they tried to use some strategy. So the strategy in calling when I give caller number 35, and that's the first time he forced me, he twisted my arm, folks, and made me give it away before the break instead of in this go-round. And I get it, but the callers decided, you know, let's wait, right? And let's don't be early.
It was a little delay, yes.
But when you have the waiting, then the other people are going to call in, and then you're going to have a problem getting through. So the people that were already calling are repeat callers, and they call back in, and so we have a winner now. And now the phones are all jacked all the way up.
Yep. But I can see the frowns.
The strategy, by the way, you can hang them now. We have a winner. The strategy doesn't work. You got to start right away. I'm going to give a strong number all week. Keep in mind tomorrow it's going to be for the G-Knights. When they get back home, they take on their arch rivals down in Phoenix, the Coyotes. I want to say thanks to Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports, Ari, back in the box with the ones and twos. I'm Seed Williams, folk. Chance Tuck, Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on. Game over.